Guys, I am very pleased to be here right now. Very pleased to be here. Let me plug this bad boy in and we're good to go. Nice. I'll get my mouse out of there. Actually, one sec. Let me sort this out. All right. Okay, there we go. Great. Guys, happy Sabbath. I'm so pleased to be here. As some of you guys know, I'm kind of late for the year. I don't know, I'm like, is this week four? Don't tell my boss. No, I actually got special permission from Graham Christian. I'm going to name drop there for you, so don't hate me too much. Graham Christian allowed me to continue on, actually, for the last 2 weeks, preaching at some summer camps that I've been at. Unfortunately, not the Victorian ones. However, I did make it up there this week. And yeah, it's been awesome. It's been a really good time. So I found myself in South Australia. I've actually got a friend here from South Australia. Where's Ange? Hey, Ange. Everyone say hello, Ange. I'm embarrassing her. This is my friend, Ange. She was also in South Australia with me while I was over there preaching for their junior camp. And I've just been up in North New South Wales as well, preaching at their teen too. But you may hear me say, oh, you know, I'm doing a lot of this preaching, but I don't really preach much to adults, so this is a whole different ballgame, so bear with me today. I just thought I'd share some cool things about who I am and what I do and that kind of thing leading up to this year. I was speaking with Paul Bauer, lovely guy, awesome. I met him when he rode in on his Harley Davidson. That was really cool, actually. I'm like, hello, I'm Josh, lovely to meet you, and then find out he's the head elder, and I was like, this guy's awesome. So had a cool meeting with him and Pastor Dan, and we were just sort of talking about life and so on, and he sort of encouraged me to share a bit about how I ended up here. So today, that's what I'm going to be doing. But before I do that, I'm going to just quickly run through some things that make me, right? So leading up to my role here as, and by the way, I feel so incredibly welcomed. Thank you so much, everybody, and especially Julie for your awesome words before. That was great. I feel very welcomed here. But before I was working in this space, I actually, my trade is I'm a driller. And that's not jeweler. For some reason, when I say driller, people ask me what kind of diamonds I work with. I drill holes in the ground, and I've got some photos here to show you guys. So this is like what a drill site looks like when I'm running it. It's a little bit messy there. You can see in the left, or on the right, sorry, there's a man there. His name's Luke, actually. He's one of my, was one of my officers. I don't work there anymore. But this is what I kind of do for work, right? So It's a pretty cool gig, but if I can't hear you properly, it's because I've been listening to loud machinery without, well, actually, I'm not going to get my boss in trouble, but it's my choice to not wear the PPE. Anyway, so this is the kind of thing that I do for work. It's really, really fun, and sometimes doing that, I don't always look like this, obviously. I wear similar clothes to him, and we come out looking pretty messy, so this is what I look like sometimes at work. That's drilling in valleys for you. Anyway. So that's me on one side and then Luke on the other. That's my main offsider. He's a great guy, actually, really cool. I hope he's listening today. I don't think so. But anyway, yeah, that is what it looks like when we've been drilling in a valley, right? It's pretty messy work. But it's not always messy work. Sometimes we're out in sand dunes and we're drilling for water to monitor water levels and that kind of thing in Stockton Beach. For anyone who's been to college, you'll know about that area. And something that's really cool about that is that I get to see some amazing scenery. Some amazing scenery. So I got this photo here for you guys. This is some top of a sand dune out in Stockton Dunes. There's a full drill set up and everything going on there. And this photo doesn't even do it justice. It was truly amazing in the moment. And what's really cool is that I love creation. Anyone else here with me? You love creation? Love nature? Great. All right. I'm amongst friends. That's good. The cool thing about this job is that we get out there and we get to see all these awesome sunsets because we're often working huge hours and we find ourselves out in the valleys or up in Mangrove Mountain and we can see these awesome sunsets, sometimes sunrises, depending on what time of the year it is. And we get to meet a lot of cool people. And so to find myself here in the city, coming from farmland and then in here in the city, is an interesting experience. I'm very happy to be here and I'm happy to learn your ways, is how I'm going to call it. But you'll often hear, if I ever go up here to speak, that I've gotten out and I've found some nature somewhere and maybe some cool, are the Dandenong Ranges? Is that what they're called? Yeah, maybe out that way, that kind of thing. I drove through a beautiful place out near Ferntree Gully, I think it is. Amazing little valley there with like huge trees. It was absolutely beautiful. But part of the nature thing that I love is actually getting out into nature and doing this thing called rock climbing. So this is the kind of stuff that I would do rock climbing. You see there on the left, that's actually a cliff that's like 250 meters high at that point. And so we'll wrap down. That middle photo there is my friend Dylan. We'll go down over that cliff and we'll go down to the bottom. And the only way out is to climb back out. So you spend the next 7 hours climbing up this cliff. And the one that we actually climbed that day, that last photo is us successful at the end of our climb, was a 300 meter cliff. It's a lot of fun, but it takes a long time and you get really sore arms and you're just happy to be alive at the top. But this is the kind of thing I really like to do. And if you might hear, maybe if I get some time off, I'll apply for leave. I'll end up over the Arapiles. I hear that is God's rock climbing gym. Apparently it was made for rock climbers. All around the world they say that. But it's pretty cool. And I mentioned earlier about what my grandma would call my special friend. Mia is her name. And this is actually a photo of her rock climbing on the left that you guys can see. She's pretty strong. I'm the one on the like straight up and down cliff that doesn't require much arm muscle. But she's the one hanging off the roof. And we love all this kind of thing. And along with this, we also love snowboarding. Anyone else here into snow sports? Okay, cool. Yeah. Anyone here afford it? Anyway, no, it's pretty cool. I really, really enjoy the snow. Love rock climbing. I love getting out into nature and seeing the awesome, awesome views and sceneries that we have. But I'll show you what Mia looks like. This is actually what she looks like here. This is her and me on another trip that I actually did. We went down to Tasmania and we worked at their summer camp with them. And I was speaking that week too. It sounds like I'm some great speaker. I'm not. I don't know why they keep getting me. I went down to Tasmania and I was speaking for their summer camp. And Mia came down with me and ran a cabin for them. So that's Mia. I'm sure you guys will meet her eventually. She'll end up coming down hopefully soon because it sucks living apart. But she's got one more year at uni. She's studying dietetics and nutrition. And lovely, lovely woman. Come ask me about it later. She's cool. But part of sharing my story with you guys, as Paul suggested, is that there's a few common themes, as I'm sure we'd all have in our lives, right? And for me, these three themes, I'm not going to list them all right now. I'm just going to say the first one. I discovered this thing when I was maybe 16 or 17. I'm going to share that story with you guys in a sec. And this theme is actually grace. So I actually have a little story for you guys from when I was like 16. This is what it actually looked like. Don't laugh at me, all right? This is why I grow the beard. But anyway, that there's me on the left. And these here are some of my really good mates in school. And their names are Jacinta, Matt, and Ben, running from left to right. They're really good friends of mine. But at this time, right, I was actually just like probably a lot of us here in this room. I'd grown up in an Adventist family, went to an Adventist church, to an Adventist school, and so did some of my mates here in this group right here. But I found myself going down some of the wrong paths. I found myself sort of listening to the wrong sort of music and doing that kind of thing, and ended up at a place where it was actually quite dark for me. So sorry to get start off quite heavy, but don't worry, we're going to move on quick. Found myself in a pretty hard place. How do I put this in the best way possible? Let's say it like this. You ready? I found myself one phone call away from juvie, actually. And I was lucky enough that the person who had the phone literally in their hand, this is a literal story, had the phone in their hand. I remember saying to them, go on, call the cops. And they said to me, I don't want to. I don't want to. And to me, I realized that what they were actually saying was, I don't want to because God's actually got a plan for you. And the truth was that at that time, I realized that I actually had a consequence for my actions. I realized in that moment that there was very real consequences to living the kind of life I was living. Now, in case you're thinking, wow, Josh, you're just really glazing over this one, aren't you? It's because I know I've got a whole 2 more years at least of sermons to give, so I'm not going to tell you all my stories yet. That's why I'm glazing over this one, because I might come back to it. But I found myself realizing, man, I actually got to take myself seriously. I got to be responsible for what I'm doing. And I found myself realizing in that moment, grace. Realizing that even though I deserve something entirely different to what I was given, somebody said, you know what? God's got a plan for you, and we're actually going to give you that chance. And so I found myself a phone call away, and I was shown grace. And in that moment, it was really, really cool. Actually, some things really changed for me. I really enjoyed the music today. Just saying, the music team's awesome here. Can we give these guys a round of applause? I think they're great. Honestly, that was amazing. And that item you guys sang, that was really cool. You wrote that, yes? Yeah, cool. Wow, that's great. Yeah, awesome. So I actually got into music quite a lot. around this time. And I found myself, when I experienced this grace, realizing that there was actually more. Realizing that there was actually more for me out there. And in that, I started actually playing music, and I started playing music in church. And I didn't just used to come to church anymore because my parents told me I had to. I don't know if any of you guys went through that stage yourselves, but I found myself going to church because I had to. Mum would tell me I wasn't allowed to wear my ripped jeans, and it worked because I'm not wearing them today. And I found myself going to church because I actually wanted to now. I started playing in the music team. I started getting involved. And that was enough for me to want to know more. And I realized that this grace that was given to me was actually bigger than myself. And I realized that there was so much more to know, so much more goodness to know, right? Which I think is pretty cool. So this is what it looks like a little while later. Let's see these photos. Man, as you guys can see, this is why I grow the beard. Anyway, that's me on the far left with the white guitar, hanging out with my cousin and my brother. And on the right-hand side, I don't know if you guys know who that guy is. That guy is Jared Hain. That was at Hillsong one time. Don't ask me about my fashion sense. I don't know what was going on. But yeah, I really got into music and I started playing that kind of thing. And this is what I also looked like. That was my first ever car. So this is just so you guys get to know me, right? But this is actually what I looked like later. This is the same group of friends I showed you before. Ben, Jacinta, me, and Matt. Really good friends of mine. And they stuck by me through all those hard times. But there were some pretty cool things that made me actually take that grace seriously. That made me actually realize, hey, this Jesus guy is someone that I really want to actually get to know. And for me, I find something really cool about Jesus' story. And it starts right in Matthew. From the very first time we kind of hear about Jesus properly as an actual name that we're like hearing, it's actually talking about him when he's born. And it says this, ready? In Matthew 1:21. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And I think that's awesome because from the very start, before he's even born, it is made so clear. Now, we already know that like from the Old Testament, there's all these promises about him, right? But in this verse, it is made so clear his sole purpose to come is to come and save us from our sins. And that was a truth that really hit me hard when that grace was given to me. I realized that this grace is exactly like what I experienced, but so much bigger, so much more great, so much more forgiving. It's amazing, right? And it really changed my life when I realized that there was actually this grace for me. Now, something that's really good, I love prophecy. I love it when in the Bible it'll say, this thing will happen, and then later on it happens. And so that's exactly what Jesus did, right? He came and he saved his people from their sins. And he makes another prophecy about himself, which I think is one of the coolest ones because it refers directly to Moses. And it's this one here in John 3:14. A lot of you guys would know John 3:16, right? But I like the verses just before it as well. Let's say this, I, the Son of Man, must be lifted up on a pole so that everyone who believes in me will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Now, if you're new here, if you're just visiting today, that's something that's true for you guys. So I'm not aware of the demographic here. I've got no clue who's here. If you're visiting, I'm not going to make you put your hands up. I'm not going to embarrass you. Welcome. We're so glad you're here. I'm visiting for the first time myself, so you're in safe hands. But if this is news to you, then it is for you. Don't forget that. If you've heard this before, then great. But I just thought I'd remind you guys. I, the Son of Man, must be lifted on a pole so that everyone who believes in me will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And that eternal life was something that I realized that there was a bigger picture. That it wasn't just like, oh, you're forgiven, cool, that's the end of the story. But it's actually that there is something more beyond this, both in reward but also in responsibility, right? And I think that these next two verses here kind of really speak to that, right? And it's Jesus talking once again about himself. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And that grace for me is this realization that he comes and lays down his life for me directly. I'm going to skip over this next one because I don't think I necessarily need to talk about it. But a few years later, right, after all this stuff happened, I actually found myself realizing that there was a decision I had to make. Now, for those of you who've been baptized already, awesome. If you haven't been baptized, it's a really cool thing. It's a decision publicly that you can make to actually be a part of the family that we're a part of right here. So I've got some cool photos from when I got baptized. I remember putting it off for years because I remember thinking, I don't know enough. I need to know it all before I can say yes. And I used to liken it to like getting married. Like, I need to know everything about my partner before I marry them. So why would I commit to Jesus without knowing everything there is to know about it? Now, I realize now you could never know everything about everyone, right? So there comes a point where you just got to go, okay, I got faith that this is going to be a good decision to make. And I remember walking down on that beach. It was a beach called Spoon Bay. For anyone from the Central Coast, you may know of it, probably not. But it's a beautiful natural amphitheater. And the day that I went down there was kind of gloomy. I've got a little photo here of what it looks like. It was just like this. It was real gloomy. That's actually me in the water in the middle, some friends and some pastors around me that were really influential in my life, that really spoke into me and really looked after me in my walk with God. And in fact, the guy in the white shirt on the left, his name's Cole Hone, he was a great dude. He really was the one who kind of said, Josh, you'll never know it all. You got to do it. Just go now. And I realized that commitment to Jesus was something that I just had to do. And it wasn't because then I'd tick a box or anything, but because I realized that was something that was holding me back. It's like when you first say, I love you to your partner, right? And there's that moment of like, oh, they just said it. And I said it too. Wow. And then you realize how keen you are on each other. And it's even better, right? But all the while you're holding out, it kind of limits that experience for you. But something that was so cool about this, I remember walking in and it's been this really set apart moment, this really sort of holy moment and like, wow, I'm committing to Jesus here. And I remember walking in there and the weather being kind of yuck and it raining a bit and it being a bit windy and so on. But it was almost like a Bible story in the way that I walked in there in that kind of thing. I remember coming out of the water in front of all my friends and family, celebrating with them. And it was like God said to me, hey, well done. Well done, my son. I'm proud of you. Because this is what came out after, this beautiful ass photo of a sunset. And this just across the whole sky. And it was absolutely amazing. And it was like the clouds just went, all right, we're done. Show's over. And God said, hey, good on you. I'm really proud of you today. It was cool. So I found myself going, still on that journey of wanting to know more, right? Wanting to know everything that I could know. And I remember starting theology in 2015. So you guys might go, well, Josh, didn't you just graduate? For those who didn't know, I just graduated like 2 months ago. Praise the Lord. The Lord does do miracles. Anyway, so I finally got through. I started in 2015, but I took some time to do 2 years of teaching. And I went and got my driller's apprenticeship trade and everything like that. And it was cool, but I found myself through that time looking for more. And you might think to yourself today, you might go, well, actually, you know what? Maybe I would like to know more. There's one real quick remedy to this. And it's found in Jeremiah 29. It says this, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I remember realizing that. Then at the end of the day, it comes to me giving up myself and going, hey, you know what? I actually want to know you. I want to know you. I just should have brought my Bible up here with me. But the Bible, imagine I'm holding it. Anyway, the Bible is the place where you can find it. The Bible is the place where you can know exactly where God's at. It's really, really cool. And I realized that. And when I was delving into this book, oh man, you bring it to me? You're a legend. Okay. Hymnal and my phone as well. Thank you so much. This is my Bible here. It doesn't look like your traditional Bible. I'll put it like this. I do a lot of youth work, all right? Anyway, so this is my Bible right here. I've had it since 2008, and the stickers actually hold it together. In case you think I'm just trying to deface it, it's actually what's holding it together, the stickers. Without them, it'd be in pieces. Anyway, this book here is what I realized. The truth in here is amazing. It's called The Living Word for a reason. That still applies today. And I found myself, as I was seeking with all my heart in this exact book, this one right here, I found myself falling in love with who God was and is, falling in love with Jesus and the mission he had on his heart. And that's actually, I think, if you've been in church for a long time, maybe your whole life, maybe this is where you might go, hey, you know what, this stuff applies to me. And that's because I realized something that was really, really cool, and that was service. God put it on my heart to actually go and serve other people. So like I said before, I love summer camps. And I found myself doing summer camps all the time. I found myself doing like 3 weeks a summer and just burning out like crazy and spending the next 2 weeks trying to recover on my sleep because I was addicted to this thing. And to me, I call it, to quote a band from back in the day, the pure addiction, this idea of actually serving. Now I can do it a lot more sustainably. I don't burn out so much. But I love summer camps. And I love serving others. Started doing it in my local church, that kind of thing. It was really, really cool. And I found these two verses to be huge in that for me. There's two verses that are really, really cool. And they're both something that Paul wrote in Philippians 3. It says this, I once thought that all these things were so very important, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. So that grace thing I was talking about before helped me realize that I actually need to go out there and help other people. It can't just stay right here. It can't just stay right here in my heart, right? I actually have to actually share this with other people. So I found myself doing that because of what Christ had done, both for everyone, but also for me specifically. So I thought that was really, really cool. And then a few verses later, literally five verses later in 3:12, this is what Paul also writes. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. And I realized reading this that there's actually a bigger plan for me. That there is a plan bigger than just saving me, but actually a purpose for me, actually a responsibility for me to go out and actually share with other people. And that came in the form of summer camp when I was younger. And obviously now, look, here I am before you guys saying, I'm here to serve you guys, here to help you guys as best I can with whatever experience I have, right? And that, to me, is where Christ is saving me for, right here with you guys. So blessed to be here in the greatest, what was it, the greatest place in the whole Australasian division. I love that. That was great. I hope no one else is watching the live stream to get upset at us for saying that. Anyway, I love it, right? This is where I've been called to be right here for now. It's really cool. I might share another time about how I was led to be in this specific place right here. But this is what I realized for me, that I was called for a purpose. And I think we're all called for a purpose. It doesn't just say, oh yeah, and if you're employed by the church, then you're called for a purpose. It says we're all called for a purpose. And to be who Christ is calling us to be, which is really, really cool. And so this is where I'm actually going to leave you up on my final one of three. First one was grace. Second one was, now I've mind blanked, service. There we go. And the third one is actually, I don't like this terminology, not because there's anything wrong with it, but because it's a little bit religious. Anyway, but the Great Commission. In other words, you have a purpose. And so I'm going to sort of finish on this one here. I'm going to read it with you guys real quick. Matthew 28, 18, 19. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm stopping there because of that red bit, right? You'll notice I've got red in my text. The red in my text is because I go, that's the important part. That's what I really want to point out in this one. And for me in this one, it's go and make disciples. Now, I'm not going to break down the Greek for you, but I will say this. The make disciples part is like an imperative. In other words, it's not like a, if you don't mind, could you do that as well? It's go and make disciples. I command you, go and make disciples. Go and share with other people. And that's actually what he's saying to us. He's saying to each and every one of us here today to go and make disciples. I command you, go and make disciples. And the truth is, if you know grace, then you know the goodness of God. And that enough for me is enough motivation to go and do this, commit my whole life to this, in fact. But the beauty of this is it sounds like, wow, you're asking a lot from me, Jesus, or you're asking a lot from me, Josh, because you're hearing it from my mouth, I guess. But it may sound like a lot, what he's asking us to do, to go and make disciples. But I can tell you now, something we actually shared about in Sabbath school this morning. Who was it? Chris that was leading it? I don't know where Chris is now, but oh yeah, hey, Chris. Chris was leading it, and we shared about this idea of the reward of giving, that you give, but God actually blesses you back. And it's not the reason you should give, but it's a cool perk, right? In my opinion, that's one of the best work bonuses ever. And here's how I see that reward. To me, this should encourage you guys. This should excite you guys even. I think it's really cool. And I call it the full life, right? And we see here in Ephesians 3:19. Paul's a good dude. He said a lot of good things. Yeah, let's just read it. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And to me, that experience is invaluable. That experience of knowing the love of Christ is amazing. To know Jesus truly is actually one of the most amazing things you can ever have. And you may find yourself doubting, maybe in life, if you even need God or something like that. Because sometimes, you know, I can pay the bills. I'm fine. I don't need God. But at the end of the day, when you have God, you realize just how much you actually need him. Because when you don't have God, you're like, man, life is just so flat. Life is just so empty. But here he's saying, when you have the love of Christ, your life will be filled with the fullness of power, of life, and power that comes from God. And to me, that is reward enough. And in case that's not enough for you, I feel like I'm selling something to you guys. In case that isn't enough, here's my last verse. And then I'm actually going to invite the band up. You guys can come up now if you'd like. This last verse to me is almost one of my favorite rewards yet. And if this doesn't sell you, man, you're a hard bunch to sell stuff to. And it's Psalm 139, 24b. It's the last half of it. And it says this, simply, lead me along the path of everlasting life. Lead me along the path of everlasting life. Because when you commit yourself to that full life, because of grace, and you enter into service, and you go and you start making disciples, that reward I'm talking about is right there. You will experience the fullness of life. And part of experiencing the fullness of life is everlasting life. To know that forever you can be in that grace. Forever you can be in that service. To me, that's worth giving my life for. And that's what I've got for you now. I'll be back up soon to pray with you guys. But thank you very much, worship team, for your song. Awesome. Thank you.